Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. Now more than ever, new leaders have to hit the ground running. They diagnose the situation, pull together a strong team, decide on a strategy, and inspire everyone to execute it. Jason Jennings and his research team searched for the new CEOs who had pulled off the most impressive transformations of this decade. He interviewed 10 who, on average, had doubled revenues, doubled profit margins, and more than tripled earnings per share at companies such as Staples, B.F. Goodrich, and Humana. Jennings' new book, Hit the Ground Running, lists 10 new golden rules that can help leaders balance the short-term and long-term, and the competing needs of shareholders, employees, customers, and the community. Jason, welcome to Edgewise.
Thanks very much. It's great to be with you.
Jason, what are some of the mistakes that new leaders make?
We saw one of the biggest mistakes made in American business ever, Carly Fiorina, who took over HP, had one of the greatest opportunities to advance women in business that have ever existed. The day she took over, she said, "I have the strategy for this company." Forget that she knew nothing about the company, forget that she knew nobody at the company, and forget that she had no experience in those businesses. She came and announced, "I have the strategy for this company." She had an embattled reign there because from day one, she was fighting everybody by announcing she has the strategy. None of the CEOs in this book took over the job, walked into the office and said, "I have the strategy." That's one of the most ridiculous things that you can possibly do. They all came in. What they knew existed in the executive ranks was all this tribal knowledge of how an organization works and of how things get done. And they said, "I have to learn what this company is trying to do before I announce any grand strategy."
Right.
I think one of the other big mistakes made by people taking over any organization, and this isn't only CEOs, this might be somebody becoming a sales manager, somebody buying a small restaurant someplace, is they want to bring their cronies with them. They want to bring their team with them. So they take over this job and they immediately clean out the leadership ranks and replace them with their cronies. I think we've seen repeatedly in American business, that's one of the worst things that a business leader can possibly do, because you're going to lose all the tribal knowledge of the place. You're going to lose the ability to learn how an organization works and how you can make things happen quickly.
Exactly.
I remember the man who took over Allegheny Technologies Incorporated, one of the companies in the book. He said, "Everybody expected that I would come in here and immediately fire everyone. Now, why in the world would I do that? I needed those people like my next breath." So he called in the top four people in the company. He sat them down. They all expected to be fired. And he said, "Well, the first news is this. None of you are going to be fired. I need you all." And then he went on to explain how he needed their help.
What do you do about culture and engaging employees? Is that a part of hitting the ground running?
Sure it is. The only asset any company has is its people. It's the only thing that gives any organization value. It's not their buildings, it's not their machinery, it's not what they make, and it's not even their customers, because it's the people within the company that attract the customers. So culture is probably the single most important issue in any business, and I don't want anyone who's listening to think that we're talking about big, huge Fortune 1000 companies only. I don't care if you own a restaurant in Green Bay, Wisconsin with 25 workers, or if you own a dry cleaning establishment in Provo, Utah. The single most important issue facing any contemporary business leader is the issue of culture.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the test that I ask them to conduct, and I do it frequently. When you walk into a company, ask 10 people at random, "What is the culture of this organization?" If all 10 people give you the exact same answer, guess what? You've probably found a company with a culture. But if you ask 10 people, "What is the culture of the organization?" and you get 5, 6, or 7 different answers, I'm here to assure you that the organization does not have a single culture going forward.
Very interesting.
The problem is there have been too many hard-nosed CEOs who in the past have thought that culture was the soft stuff that should just be relegated to HR and didn't warrant their attention. And they've completely missed the point that the only asset they have is their people, and there will either be the culture that they want to have or there will not be a culture. And here's what happens within any human organization. In the absence of a culture, one exists by default. And the culture that exists by default is every person on their own. Everybody looking out for themselves, and that's it.
Absolutely.
2007, in late fall, Gallup did a poll of the American workplace. I found it to be one of the most shocking documents I've ever seen in my life. It reported that 72% of American workers are not actively engaged in their jobs. Now, are 72% of American workers not actively engaged in their jobs because there's a bad work ethic on the part of the American worker, or because of uninspired and uninspiring leadership? If you ask anybody the question, what they truly want out of life, I know what I want out of life, and I bet I know what you want out of your life, too. We all want to have a better tomorrow than today.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that anybody's looking for ourselves, for our families, for those who would follow us. We'd like to have a little bit more financial security. We'd like to be part of something bigger than ourselves and give us meaning in our life. And that is what culture provides. Culture is that which provides people a belief that their tomorrows will be better than their todays. Any CEO or any manager that would continue to see culture as being one of the soft things in business or one of the unimportant things in business does not deserve a role leading or managing people today.
Hmm.
You cannot transform an organization without transforming a culture. A culture is composed of people, and you cannot transform an organization unless you first ask for the belief of people and gain their permission to go forward. When you have workers just rolling their eyes back in their head and saying, oh no, here we go again, been there, done that, you're not going to be a success. And that means that you've tried to initiate something without first gaining their belief.
Jason, we're in a recession. Many people are being reshuffled and put into new management positions. How do you deal with the recession as a new leader?
The first thing that you say is, this is the greatest opportunity I will ever have. Let's take a look first at what actually constitutes a recession or a depression.
Okay.
Several consecutive quarters of a downturn in economic activity in the United States qualifies as a recession. Several quarters of a downturn in economic activity accompanied by a feeling of general malaise constitutes a depression. So I'm not sure if I agree with you that we're in a recession right now or if we actually may be in something that more closely resembles a depression.
Oh, yeah.
But now let's take the flip side of that. What else exists in the United States? 300 million consumers. And I know what those 300 million consumers want. We touched on it a moment ago. All 300 million consumers want a better tomorrow than they have today, have to have some place to live, have to have some mode of transportation. All 300 million consumers have to have something to eat. Do you know that as dismal as all of the numbers were for the end of 2008, retail was off 3%. Food was off 1%. Industry was off 2.7%.
Okay.
Now, pardon me for being a little bit naive, but that's my way of saying that even when you're in a recession or a depression and you're off 2, 3, 4, or 5%, the glass is still 95% full. It is not 95% empty. So to begin with, there's still 95, 96, or 97% of activity taking place in the economy. Now, what is the response? What has the short-term, idiotic, and stupid response been of so many American business leaders just following conventional wisdom? Let's immediately begin by laying off people. Ours is the only economy that I know of where a leader could come in, conduct a layoff and watch his or her stock price go up. In any other nation, that would be a sign of embarrassment that I can't run a company that's sufficiently good that I actually have to lay people off.
Exactly.
So, you ask me what they should do. I will begin by telling you what they shouldn't do. And I would begin by telling you that layoffs are the most foolish thing that any organization could ever do for several reasons. One, when you lay people off, you lose the belief of the workforce. How in the world do you, as a manager, talk about our workers are like a family, they're our asset, they're what make us important, and then in the next instant, lay them off? So first of all, you lose absolutely all credibility.
Right.
The next thing you lose, we talked about it earlier, is tribal knowledge. You lose institutional knowledge. When you lay people off, you're letting go of the people who know how to make the organization work. And guess what? When business gets better, you're going to have to either bring those people back. And if I were one of those people coming back, I'd be coming back with a pretty bad attitude or not coming back at all. Or you're going to have to replace them with other people who then have this tremendous learning curve of getting up to speed. And every study that I've seen says that the costs of rehiring and retraining workers who you've previously laid off is far greater than the money you saved by doing the layoff. So now, what do I think is the sensible approach?
Mm-hmm.
I think perhaps one of the two best led companies on the planet is Nucor Steel, headed by Dan DiMicco. They're actually America's largest steel producer. Let me tell you what his company has accomplished. In the past 10 years, they have taken the time it takes to make a ton of steel from 11 hours to 30 minutes. They've increased their quarterly dividend for 146 consecutive quarters. Last year, their average steel worker made more than $110,000. But now listen to this, kerplunk, they've never had a layoff in their history. Now, how in the world can you not have a layoff in a commodity-driven steel business? Well, as Dan DiMicco says, we're going to have ups and downs in the steel business. It's not always going to be great. Sometimes it's going to be very bad. Here's how we handle it. When we're going all out, everybody will be working a six-day week, and we'll all be making a ton of money. And if things slow down a little bit, we all drop to a five-day week. If things get really bad, everybody goes to a four-day week, including the CEO, including the vice presidents, including the supervisors, and they're only going to make 80% of what they made before.
Right, right.
He said there have been a couple of times in our 40-year history where things were horrible, and we had to go to a three-day week for everybody. But he said, guess what? We went to a three-day week and 3 days of weekly compensation for everybody in the organization. So the one thing that nobody should be resorting to do quickly when an economy is only off 3, 4, or 5% is laying off people. The next thing they shouldn't be doing is panicking. Everybody seems to be looking for a magic stick, something you can poof, tap over your business and all your problems are going to be fixed. If I have learned anything from researching these 110,000 companies from my last four books and the best CEOs in the country for this book, it's that high-performing CEOs and high-performing companies do several things. One, they have a very clear strategy, a very clear big objective that everybody in the organization knows. They truly understand that their employees are the only important asset they have. They take time to gain the belief of everybody in the organization. They have a relentless focus on simplicity within the organization as opposed to complication.
Mm-hmm.
When you take a look at the typical manager's day and how much time they spend in make work, self-important phone conferences and meetings, it's ridiculous.
Of course.
I would guess that most CEOs and managers probably spend 20% of their time in the fruitful exercise of what they should actually be doing.
Right.
And then stick to your knitting. Business is actually fairly simple. I recall not long ago, I was in Hong Kong doing a speech. I got a standing ovation, and I was proud of myself. There were lots of people gathered around me, and we were shaking hands, and we were chatting. And finally, little by little, the room emptied, and there was one Asian lady left standing in the back of the room, and I sensed that she wanted to talk to me. So I walked up to her, and I said, hi, and I reached out to shake her hand, and she said, I heard your speech. And I said, oh. She said, it was good. Well, my heart sunk. She didn't say it was very good. She didn't say it was fantastic. She said it was good. And then she looked at me and she said, but it's really just common sense. And my heart sunk further. And then she smiled broadly and she said, but I want to point out that the most common thing about common sense is how uncommon common sense actually is in business.
Exactly.
And I believe those words are so true. Very simply, know where you're going, what your big objective is. Value people. Gain the belief of those around you. Work relentlessly to run a simple business. You'll be successful.
Absolutely. Jason, is there anything you want to share with us that you feel, just in general, people aren't aware of or should be made aware of?
I believe across the board that laying off people is the worst thing that a business can do to respond to an economic vagary in our economy for many different reasons. One, I think it causes everybody else who's left within the organization to be scared because they know it might happen to them. So they actually start looking other places.
Mm-hmm.
There's an additional workload placed on people who are within the organization already. They're probably already overworked, who are given tasks that they don't know how to do. So we somehow have to try to figure out how to train those people, which actually costs money, probably more money than we thought we saved by laying people off. And then when we bring people back, even more training is required. Layoffs don't make it in terms of good business. It's just not common sense. It should not be the first thing that somebody resorts to.
I want to thank our guest today, Jason Jennings, author of the new book, Hit the Ground Running. Thanks a lot, Jason.
Thanks very much for having me. It's been a pleasure to be with you and your listeners.
It would be great to hear your feedback on this program, so please drop us an email note at podcast@amanet.org or call us at 800-697-3406. That's 800-697-3406. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.